Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Emma, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Eurobank Holdings conference call to present and discuss the first quarter 2021 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to Eurobank's first quarter 2021 results presentation. Together with me is our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, and the investor relations team. I will start from an overview of recent developments before we present our results. Looking first at the macroeconomic background, sentiment is positive, as shown by all indicators of domestic economic activity. The vaccination pace has recently accelerated, and the economy is opening up. In spite of the anticipated GDP contraction in the first quarter, economic growth is expected above 4% and 6% for this year and 2022, respectively, according to the latest EU estimates. Strong state support measures have been extended in 2021, and this is reflected in ample liquidity conditions and continued inflow of deposits, in contained unemployment and increasing real estate prices, and last but not least, in better asset quality trends, as evidenced by lower than initially anticipated NPE inflows from loans under moratoria. However, we will keep monitoring asset quality evolution as state support schemes are eventually removed in the second half of the year. Early signs for the tourism season are encouraging, and the estimates currently point to 50% revenues of the 2019 season versus 20% last year. Greece, together with Portugal, were the first countries to submit a robust plan for the Resilience and Recovery EU funds, and approval is expected until the end of June. Additionally, the Greek banking system has accelerated the NPE reduction and tapped the markets to strengthen its balance sheet. Such initiatives are reflected in recent upgrades by credit rating agencies for the sovereign and the banking system. Eurobank was the most proactive in enhancing its capital base through the merger with Grivalia and executing an accelerated NPE reduction plan, which is driving our NPE ratio to single digit this year. The organic capital generation of 100 basis points per annum will be more than adequate to support the expansion of the loan portfolio. As such, our focus now is shifting towards business development in all our core markets and profitability. Let me now focus on our financial results for the first quarter, with highlights shown on slide five. Our net profits in the first quarter reached 72 million euros. On a year-on-year basis, corporate provision income was up 3%, as lower NII was offset by higher fees and commissions. Operating expenses were down 2.2% year-on-year, with Greece 3.1% lower. Our income stream remains well diversified, with profits from international operations reaching 32 million euros in the first quarter. Now, on asset quality, we had positive NPE formation of 72 million euros, which is substantially lower than initially expected. The cost of risk was at 1.4%, resulting in stable NPE coverage at 62%. Our total capital ratio, incorporating the full year 2021 regulatory transitions and adjustments, reached at 15.5%. The CET1 ratio was 13% and 11.9% on a transitional and fully loaded basis, respectively. Deposit gathering continued in the first quarter with 1 billion euros new deposits, while the loan disbursements exceeded 1 billion and are expected to accelerate further in the second half of the year. The loan-to-deposit ratio declined to 78%. Finally, as you know, we successfully tapped the debt capital markets with a 5-year senior note in April. This is our first MREL issuance, and there was strong demand, especially among international investors. Let me now continue with an update on the Mexico securitization and our capital enhancement transactions. On Mexico, the discussions with stakeholders regarding the tranching are well advanced. The pre-rating has been received and relevant economics are better than initial estimates. We intend to apply for Hercules II and SRT in the next few weeks, then reclassify the securitized portfolio as held for sale in the third quarter and deconsolidate NPEs in the fourth. As a result, our NPE ratio will decline close to 8% by the end of the year. Regarding the capital enhancement transactions, namely the synthetic securitization of performing loans and the strategic partnership for the merchant acquiring business, we are also on track to close both transactions before year-end. So, based on the above update and the first quarter results, we remain very constructive as the certainty of achieving our 2021 business plan has increased. In this context, we reiterate our outlook for this year's profitability, NPE ratio decline, and capital plan, as presented in the previous analyst call. Overall, we keep delivering in a consistent way on our business plan. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, to present our first quarter results and the outlook before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fokion. Let's now provide some more insight on the first quarter results. Starting from the capital position and on page 7, in the first quarter, our fully loaded CET1 ratio remains stable, close to 12%. The phased-in total capital ratio amounted to 15.5%. The main drivers of the period's movement were the full-year transitions, the new definition of default, and an increase in RWAs due to investment securities purchases. The above were mitigated by the organic profitability of the quarter. The regulatory transitions and adjustments have been fully reflected in the capital plan presented in our previous call. Furthermore, accounting for the impact of Mexico and the announced capital enhancement initiatives, the outlook remains for a total CAD ratio and a fully loaded CET1 at 16% and 12.8% respectively at the end of the year. Moving on funding and liquidity on page 8. As shown at the right part of the page, group deposits increased in the first quarter by 1 billion euro and in the last 12 months by 3 billion. The increase is largely associated with extensive state support measures to the economy and the increased 2020 loan disbursements. Net loan to deposit ratio receded in the first quarter to 78% and LCR ratio increased to 141% as shown at the left of the page. Furthermore, the group is making use of 8.8 billion euro TLTRO 3 at a rate of minus 100 basis points. In combination with deposits increase, this has led to a substantial decrease in the balances of other funding instruments and to a commensurate reduction in funding costs. Finally, in April, and in the context of meeting our MREL transitional target, the bank tapped successfully the debt markets with a 500 million senior preferred issuance at a cost of 2 1/8. Moving on page 16, on lending growth. During the first quarter of the year, performing loans increased slightly to 35.3 billion euro, which is mainly associated with the ample liquidity conditions, as explained above. However, the reopening of the economy following the notable progress of vaccinations, the pickup of several high-scale investment projects that are in the pipeline, and the expected leverage from RRF point to an acceleration of new lending as of the second half of this year. Moving to profitability on page 18, net interest income increased quarter on quarter by 1.6% at 335 million euro. This is due to the higher contribution from TLTRO and the further decrease of wholesale funding costs, which offset the impact of this effect and the recycling of GGBs. As regards deposits margin, the impact of increasing volume has been offset by the continued decrease of client rates. On a year-on-year basis, net interest income is lower by 1.4%. On page 19, commission income decreased quarter-on-quarter by 9.3% at 99 million euro. The decrease is mainly attributed to the record capital market fees in the previous quarter, while all other fee drivers stay at par with the seasonally strongest period of the year. On a year-on-year basis, commission income is higher by almost 7%. On page 20, operating expenses are lower year-on-year by 2.2%. In Greece, costs are lower by 3.1% as higher IT and digital-related expenses are offset by staff costs, which is lower by 11.2% year-on-year due to reduced headcount. Further on pre-provision income on page 5. On the top left of the page, core PPI increased quarter-on-quarter by 2 million euro or by 0.7% at 218 million, as a result of higher net interest income and lower operating expenses, which offset commission decrease. On a year-on-year basis, core PPI is higher by 3%. Pre-provision income amounted to 231 million euro, including 13 million of trading and other income. Moving on asset quality and on page 6. As shown on the top left of the page, NP formation in the first quarter amounted to 72 million euro, significantly better than our initial estimate. NP ratio increased slightly to 14.2% and pro forma with Mexico securitization amounts to 7.4%. Despite better than expected formation, we remain conservative on provisioning with cost of risk at 1.4%. Going forward, although we should keep monitoring the behavior of our clients as the government measures are gradually lifted, the evidence we have from the first month of the year, together with the expectations for a strong economic recovery in the second half, show that the decrease of NPEs for 2021 may be at least 30% lower than initially expected. In this context, it is envisaged that the cost of risk for the year should be at the area of 1.1 to 1.2%, lower than the 1.3% provided in our guidance. Overall, as regards the profitability guidance provided in year-end 2020 results, we reiterate our core PPI outlook, despite the risk related with deposits growing faster than loans. However, this is mitigated by a better outlook on asset quality. As a result, our profit before tax guidance remains intact. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. The first question comes to the line of Jonas Floriani with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. I have a few questions. The first is regarding Mr. Caravia's comments on the Mexico securitization now that you've got the pre-rating received. So, if I'm not mistaken, I've heard something about better economics for the deal. I remember that the guidance were for a 50 basis points impact to capital. So I was just wondering if we should expect that this guidance will be changed, or maybe it's a less than 50 basis points impact. Then the second question is on your real estate portfolio, slide 19. I was just wondering if there's any outlook you can give us in terms of how this picture could look by year end. Just wondering about specific number of assets, or if there's any area of this portfolio you're focusing or preferring over the others, and also maybe some thoughts on the outlook for the yield of the real estate assets. And then finally is on the NP formation. So I see, as you mentioned, it's better than expected, but I couldn't see anything on the outflow. So if you could explain a bit how was the Q1 performance on the outflow side, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Okay, Jonas, thank you very much for your questions. I will answer the first and the third, and Harris will discuss about the loan portfolio and the outlook for it. So in terms of the Mexico transaction, as I mentioned already, discussions about the transing is very advanced. We received the pre-rating letter, and the economics appear to be better than initially estimated. We had, as you said very correctly, a cut impact of 50 basis points, and it appears that the impact is going to be well below this figure. The next steps are to apply for Hercules 2 and SRT in the next few weeks. The mezzanine non-binding offers should be received in late July, and binding offers for the mezzanine by the end of September. And as I mentioned, the assets will be classified as held for sale in the third quarter, and we're going to have full derecognition and closing by year end. Now, following the completion of Mexico and taking into account the net inflows that we expect for this year, and I will elaborate further about it shortly, the NPE ratio is expected to decline from the current levels to close to 8% by year end. Now, in terms of asset quality, which was your third question, the trends that we have seen so far are better than initially anticipated. And this holds both for the first quarter, in which NP formation was at 72 million euros. If you also look at page 22, in which we provide the segmental analysis, you can see that this good performance is across all segments. But also in the second quarter, we observe a similar pattern. And based on the current data, most likely formation in the second quarter is going to be lower than the one in the first quarter. However, as I also mentioned during my introduction, we should keep monitoring the asset quality evolution, especially for the second half of the year, which is the time at which the state support measures will be lifted. Overall, I can say that we are optimistic about the asset quality patterns, but we have to remain also cautious at the same time. Now, during the last analyst call, we had projected about 0.9 billion euros increase in the stock of NPEs. Based on the data that we have today, we should revise downwards this increase by, let's say, 30%, so to go from 0.9 billion euros to 0.6. A revision that drives also lower the cost of risk for 2021. In the first quarter, it was 1.4%. Our guidance full year 2021 was at 1.3. This is what we mentioned during the previous analyst call. And we revised that downwards to 1.1 to 1.2%. This is about the asset quality. And let me pass over to Harris about your second question.
Jonas, your second leg of the question was about real estate, correct?
Yes, I think I mentioned the wrong slide. It's slide 11.
Mm-hmm. Let me provide the general outlook of real estate prices. First is shown on page 43 of the presentation. There, we may underline that despite the COVID outbreak, the growth of retail prices, both in apartments and in office, continued at a slower pace, but continued. So we see a very resilient market there, something that continues in the first month of 2021, as evidenced by the latest data of Bank of Greece. So the real estate market is very resilient, something that had and continues to have positive impact both on our investment portfolio as well as on the collateral values of our loan portfolio, as it affects positively the LTV ratio. Now, on page 11, we can comment that the growth yield remains above 7%, and the mix of the portfolio has passed very successfully through the crisis, as the sectors on which this portfolio has been invested actually have not been affected in their majority by the COVID outbreak. The return on tangible book value of this segment is again expected to reach or exceed 10% for 2021. And overall, we are, I would say, very optimistic on the developments on the real estate. And on that front, we continue deploying our medium-term strategy for a 500 million euro investment property, new investments, out of which by the end of 2020, close to 200 million euros had already been invested, more or less in the sectors presented in page 11, while the rest 100 million will be invested in the years 2021 and 2022 at their majority.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Alexandros Lougouris with Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Two questions on my end. First is on the guidance on core PPI. In your presentation, in your last presentation in March, you had a guidance for 875 million, if I remember correctly. You mentioned that this should be slightly lower because of the negative impact on NII. I think that was -3. I think in the previous presentation. So, what is your new guidance on this? If you could clarify. And a second question regarding NII. If you could provide a bit of color on TLTRO, I see it's 33 million in Q1 from 10 million in Q4. And what is the level that we should expect in the following quarters, maybe in Q2 and Q3, just to get a color for the full year TLTRO impact? And one more question on this, on NII, just to get a bit of better understanding, I see the loan margin that is a bit down Q on Q. Although spreads are quite stable, I mean, if you could explain the reason for that, that would be useful. Thank you.
Alexander, the last part of your question was about bonds margin, you mentioned.
Sorry?
The last part of your question was about bonds margin.
The loan margin, which on page 18 of the presentation, which is down, I think, 8 million per quarter on quarter. So I was trying to see, because spreads are quite stable. So I was wondering what is causing this decline.
Sure. Let me start from the core PPI and the profitability outlook in general, and then we'll go to this to specific matters. The outlook that we provided in year-end results call was about core PPI of €875 million. As regards net interest income, we provided for a slight decrease, low single-digit decrease versus 2020, coming from a positive contribution from TLTRO, wholesale positive contribution from wholesale funding, lower cost and higher NII from international. On the negative, we had the lower bonds and margin and the impact from the NP cleanup of portfolio. On commission income, we provided for another strong year with low double-digit increase, with the main drivers being the assets under management, the mutual funds, acquiring rental income and lending commissions. And on operating expenses, we expect staff and administrative costs to continue declining in 2021, channeling a significant part of the savings in accelerating the digital transformation of the bank and the upgrade of core banking system in some of our subsidiaries. Thus, we expected and continue to expect in 2021 total OPEX to be flat versus 2020. As regards the picture in the first month of the year, despite the lockdown that repeated in first quarter 2021, the effect on households and business has been mitigated by the very strong government measures. As a result, deposits continued growing further, and the real estate prices, as I mentioned before, continue increasing. In terms of operating performance, first quarter results are fully in line with full year 2021 earnings guidance. However, as I said before, there is some risk associated with a higher than anticipated increase of deposit flows, especially compared with the respective growth of loans. As regards the latter, it is expected to accelerate in the second half of 2021, together with the economy rebound. At any case, any low risk for core PPI will be offset by a better cost of risk, so from 1.3 to the area of 1.1 to 1.2%, which will be the result of lower than initially anticipated NPE flows from moratoria. So overall, the profitability target remains intact, as I said before. Profitability at the area of approximately close to €500 million before tax. Now, coming to the TLTRO, first quarter includes €13 million benefit not accrued in the second half of 2020, and overall amounts to €33 million. For the full year, we expect close to €90 million impact from TLTRO and another similar amount in 2022. Now, as regards loan margin, on page 18, here we have the date effect that is not shown separately, but it is included in the loan margin. So here we have an impact of €4 million. Then we have a rate impact by €2 million coming mainly from small business portfolio, and we have another €2 million that it is one-off recovered interest in the fourth quarter of the year. So the absence of this one-off creates another €2 million. But the major part is the date effect that is included in the lending margin of €4 million.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the detailed answer.
The next question comes from the line of Mehmet Sevim with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks very much for the presentation. I have three questions, please. First of all, on loan growth, you disbursed about $1 billion in the first quarter, and you mentioned that you expect it to pick up in the second half. Based on the latest trends, what kind of a figure would you expect for the full year? And secondly, many of your peers are also talking about significant loan growth opportunities in Greece with the flow of the EU funds, etc. Against that backdrop, how would you see the competitive environment going forward? So let's say in 2022-2023. My second question is on capital. You've taken a 30 basis points regulatory adjustment. Will there be any further adjustments that you would expect, given you've been guiding for approximately 50 basis points, or should that be the full amount? And finally, just if you could comment more broadly on your international strategy, please. At one point, if I remember correctly, your ambition was that 40% of NII would come from international operations. Where do you stand today against that? And strategically, what are your thoughts, given you have a very meaningful franchise in Bulgaria, more subscale in Serbia, etc.? Thanks very much.
Thank you for your question. Starting from the lending growth evolution, overall for the year, we should expect a net increase of performing loan balances at the area of 1 to 1.5 billion euro, net increase of performing loan balances. For the following year, this is expected to accelerate, reaching 2 billion euro per annum for each of the next 3 years, as a result of economic recovery and the impact and leveraging of RRF. Now, as regards the regulatory adjustments of 30 basis points, this is fully in line with the capital plan that we presented in year-end results call. It is about the impact of the new definition of default. So, as we have said at that call, the overall impact from new DOD amounted to 50 basis points. This is still our guidance for the full impact, and there is no change on that. Actually, in all of the drivers that we presented in capital plan, we are still there, and we reiterated our guidance. Apart from Mexico, that we should expect a better than initially estimated impact. Now, I pass to Fokion to talk about the competitive environment of loans in Greece and about the strategic perspectives on international.
Okay. More specifically about the RRF and the boost that this would provide to loan growth, this is mainly should be expected mainly in late 2021 and 22 onwards. These funds will be directed to investment projects and not the working capital. And I think each of the banks will get its fair market share in terms of the allocation of these funds. You know that we are very active as a bank in the financing of big projects. For instance, we are one of the main banks financing the Ellinikon project, this big real estate project in Athens. We are very active in renewables, and therefore we expect that we're going to have a significant participation in the RRF. If we should quantify that, we expect a net delta increase in loans 22 onwards about 2 billion euros per annum, 2 to 2.5 billion euros per annum for the next 3 years or so. And definitely RRF is going to be a good contributor to this delta. Now, let me come to our strategy about our international subsidiaries. We have mentioned a number of times that Eurobank operates in three core markets. One is Greece, the second is Bulgaria, the third is Cyprus. Therefore, in these markets, we want to grow both organically, but also through any potential acquisition if there is a good opportunity for that. You may recall that when there was such opportunity in Bulgaria, we took advantage of that twice in the past. In terms of the contribution of the international segment in our profitability, as we speak, in terms of core PPI, the international subsidiaries contribute about 30%, and we expect this to continue going forward, because both the business in Greece and the business in the other core markets will grow proportionally. So this this ratio will remain more or less unchanged.
Great, that's very helpful. Thanks very much for your comments.
The next question comes from the line of Osman Memisoglu with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for your time and presentation. Just two on my side. One is just a clarification on TLTRO, the 90 million that you mentioned. I assume it includes the 13 million that was kind of accrued for last year. That's the first one. And then the second one, given that you're lowering your cost of risk guidance for 21, should we assume if this trend continues, you know, some level of reduction for your cost of risk guidance for the future years, particularly 22? Thank you.
Sure. The answer is yes, 13 million is part of the, the answer is yes, 13 million is part of the 90 million euro that it is the expected overall impact for TLTRO for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of cost of risk, in the previous analyst call, we have indicated a cost of risk of 60 basis points for 2022. I think it would be premature to revise this figure. As I mentioned before, we are optimistic, but we should remain a little bit cautious about the asset quality in the second half of the year as the state support measures are lifted. Therefore, we revised the full year 2021 from 1.3 to 1.2, 1.1, 1.2, and we keep the 60 basis points for 22 at the moment unchanged.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me thank you all for participating in this call. Let me also thank you for your questions. We would be available for any sort of clarifications that you may need. And we may meet some of you in some video calls that we're arranging for the next couple of weeks. Bye-bye.